Oh, how sweet it is. We are down to 16 teams after this weekend of March Madness. It was a little madness going on this weekend, and I mean, that's all you can hope for during this time of the year. Your bracket could be pretty decent. It definitely got busted when Kentucky lost, but definitely some new heroes, some superstars that were made this weekend. And going to be breaking all that down, the round of 64 and 32, going to be breaking that down, and also talking some NBA and other sports headline news from around the sports world. But before we get started, make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. You get your podcast at Burgers and Brats, and stay up to date with latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. All right. There is so much to dig into this weekend. You could say there wasn't much. There's not as much madness as last year. Last year was insane. I mean, we had one seeds losing. We had major superstars, small teams that made deep runs the last few years. And I mean, really, the lowest seed is, I mean, it's not that far. It might be Clemson. Clemson, a 6 seed? No, we got NC State, 11 seed. So we have the highest we got is a 6 seed, or the lowest is a 6 seed and 11 seed. Everything else is 5 and under. I mean, there's really not much madness that went on to get to the Sweet 16. So in that case, it hasn't been much madness. But I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, we have to start with the man of the tournament. They only won one game. They almost got to the Sweet 16, but Oakland, not a team out of California, but a team out of Wisconsin. Oakland and Jack Dolke, the Oakland team, just incredible. They stole everyone's hearts this year. It was fun watching that. Jack Dolke, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone saw his stats throughout the season. So, Jack Dolke, three-point specialist is what you could say for that. Easily a three-point specialist. For the game against Kentucky, he went 10 of 20 from three-pointers to beat them, just upset them, bust our brackets. He then had 6 three-pointers versus NC State in the round of 32. I mean, almost willed them to a victory to the Sweet 16. And he is the 5th ever in March Madness, the 5th ever throughout his history with 10 plus three-pointers in a tournament game. Fifth ever. So it is crazy. This man is history. Now, for the season totals. This man has shot 372 total shots. 372 total shots throughout the whole year. Only 8 have been two-pointers. Only 8 shots throughout the entire season were two-pointers. And 1 was a mid-range. That is insane. You just laugh. And I mean, it's an efficient three-point shooter. He's 37.6% from 3, from beyond the arc. I mean, that's pretty efficient for a man who only shoots three-pointers. Looks like he's 30. It was just an incredible weekend that we got to witness from him. And 10-pointers versus to take down Calipari and Kentucky. It was just awesome to watch that. Everyone was cheering them on. We don't care. You enjoy March Madness a lot more when you don't root for your bracket, but root for the upsets. That's how you enjoy March Madness. It makes it so much more fun. You don't want to see these big-name teams make the Sweet 16 all the time, the North Carolinas, the Dukes, the Kentuckys. You want to see a team named Oakland from Wisconsin make it, St. Peter's, Oral Roberts, Florida Gulf Coast. You want to see these smaller teams that don't have the representation make it. I mean, a Grand Canyon University that almost got there. A Grand Canyon University, which is apparently a publicly traded company. I'm looking into buying some stock. Right now, I think their stock is worth $133. It's kind of been trending upwards, so you can invest in Grand Canyon University. Is that a scheme? I don't know how that's legal, but it is. On the other side of Oakland, a loss in overtime to NC State for a bid at the Sweet 16. I mean, another guy I want to talk about in Oakland. I mean, just incredible. Who I think could definitely make it to a major team, to a major D1 school for next season, is Trey Townsend. This man is incredible. I mean, he balled out. He had 30 points, 13 rebounds, playing the entire game, 45 minutes. And he only had, I believe, 6 points at the end of the first half. So it was crazy. I think he can get a big NIL deal at a major school. I really do think that. He balled out. He looked really good. The only thing that killed Oakland was the rebounds. I mean, gave 46 compared to 34. You're not going to win games like that. I mean, just couldn't get any rebounds. But Oakland was the star of the tournament that we saw. Didn't make a deep run, but they captured everyone's hearts. Jack Dolke was getting NIL deals from TurboTax and Buffalo Wild Wings after the game. So that was pretty fun. That was fun to see. I think Trey Townsend can definitely earn his way onto a major contender for next year. On the other side, Kentucky and Calipari. One win since 2021 in the tournament. There was no tournament in 2020. One win since 2021. St. Peter's had two. Oral Roberts, I think, had three. I mean, Oakland had one now. A team that never won. So, you got to do something. You just signed Calipari to a lifetime contract a few years ago. $86 million. I mean, maybe you don't have to fire him, at least this season. But you got to say, hey, you got to change something. I mean, you got to take responsibility, too. You can't be like, oh, our guys are so young. And I mean, that's your team. You're the coach. You got to do something. Change the game plan. It's Kentucky basketball. You get five-star after five-star. You should not be losing to Oakland or St. Peter's in the first round of the NCAA March Madness bracket. That's not how that works. I think Calipari stays. Calipari stays, but definitely something has to change. If you go lose next year in the first round as well, I think your job is in jeopardy. I don't care if you sign a lifetime deal. It is in jeopardy. So, be interesting to see what happens there. For the tournament, there were upsets. There were 12 over 5s, 11 over 6s, but I really wouldn't call them upsets. Everyone pretty much picked these 11 over 6, 12 over 5 matchups. I picked three 11 over 6s. And I mean, I think three of them worked, or two of them worked. So, not major upsets. There were three 12 over 5 wins, three 11 over 6 wins. So, yeah, that's an upset if you were just a casual and were like, hey, I'm just going to pick the 5, yeah, because they're a better seed. But I mean, San Diego State was a 5 that beat a 12. That was the 5 that I had beating a 12. I did not have Grand Canyon, actually. I had James Madison beating Wisconsin, did not have Grand Canyon. I had St. Mary's in that one, so. I mean, I had two of the three 12 over 5s. It just wasn't a major upset like that. People expected that. Yeah, I had Gonzaga over McNeese. Gonzaga was a 5 seed, so people expected that. NC State, Texas Tech, that could have gone either way, I think. I went back and forth on both those. I think most of the part I picked Texas Tech. Shouldn't have. NC State won five games in 5 days, so should have been with the hot team. Duquesne beat BYU. That was a huge one, 11 over 6. So I did not have that one. The other 11 over 6, or actually the one that didn't work, Clemson. The one 11 over 6 I did have, I had New Mexico over Clemson. That didn't work. Clemson now going to the Sweet 16. Very surprising, getting a win over Auburn. Or a win over Baylor to make it to the Sweet 16, which was definitely surprising. But I had Oregon over South Carolina, 11 seed. So I had two of the 11 over 6s and two of the 12 over 5s. So, I mean, not major upset. I am just happy that Purdue showed out. I am happy Purdue made amends and decided to play basketball this year in the tournament. That was good to see them. That was fun. There were some great games, guys. I mean, these late games were just incredible. I hope you guys stayed up for Creighton, Oregon, Houston at Texas A&M. We'll talk about Houston, Texas A&M because that was just the last one that happened. But, oh, my goodness. Houston, one seed, getting a scare from the 9 seed, Texas A&M. They, in overtime, Houston wins 195. This game was incredible. I mean, this game was over. I thought this game was over. But A&M made some shots, man. There was a little disparity in this game with the free throws. Houston shot 21 of 30. Meanwhile, A&M shot 29 of 45. 15 more free throws. That's a lot. If you make your free throws, you win this game, guys. I mean, and two shots that A&M had deep in the clutch time, their foot was on the line. If your foot is off the line, that's two extra points. You hit that buzzer beater too, you're winning this game. A&M wins this game. Your foot's on the line for two shots, and you don't make free throws when you had ample opportunity to do that. And you out-rebounded Houston 49-35. This was Houston's scare game. I'm not really nervous for Houston after this. They do play Duke, which is a great tournament team. But Houston finished the game out in overtime, into the fourth, and whole overtime with four of their five starters out. Four of their five starters did not participate in overtime and towards the end of the fourth quarter. That is incredible. That is awesome. That is why I'm not nervous for this Houston team. You show out in overtime, you get the win. You got all your guys fouled out. Everything that could have gone wrong, choking the game happened. But you cannot do that against a Duke team that has, I mean, the history of Duke. So they looked really good against James Madison and in their first round game. So that is going to feed families. Duke versus Houston. I'll kind of break down Sweet 16 in a minute. But Clemson in the ACC. The ACC, decent show out. I mean, a really good show out, actually. I mean, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia was awful, obviously. Clemson made Sweet 16. So you got three teams there. NC State. They're in the Sweet 16, so that's four teams from the ACC in the Sweet 16. It's really good. Should have gave more love to the ACC during this. And then SEC, man. Do we really have to go through SEC bias in basketball and football? SEC, one team. Or two teams. Two teams, Alabama and Tennessee. Two teams in the Sweet 16. Can we stop with the SEC bias? Can we stop with that? The SEC was terrible. They were overhyped as well as, I guess, the Big 12. The Big 12, one team. One team in the Sweet 16 for the best conference in basketball. Yikes. The SEC and Big 12, which were the best conferences, only three teams total, so... I mean, got to evaluate better for the March Madness brackets. Got to evaluate. Selection committee may be looking at that for next year. But some other things that happened, or actually the other game, Creighton versus Oregon, man. Oh, my gosh. That was incredible. Stayed up late watching that game. Creighton, I got them going to the Elite Eight in most of my brackets, I believe. I mean, they got a great matchup coming up this week versus Tennessee, but Creighton. Oh, my gosh. This Oregon team, I want to shout out this Oregon team, man. I mean, let's see. It was Cousinard and Dante. Wow, guys. Cousinard and Dante. These guys balled out for Oregon. These guys deserve every NIL deal possible from Oregon. Phil Knight needs to get them. I mean, even though they lost, Phil Knight owes them so much money for this game. The entire second half, including both overtimes, They are the only people who made shots besides one other guy. He made one shot. It was them two, and then Evans Jr. made one shot. That's it. That incredible. I mean, Dante and Cousnard made every single shot besides one throughout the fourth quarter and overtimes. Talk about putting the team on your back, guys. Incredible stuff. I mean, Dante even had 20 rebounds. I just shout out those guys. That's performance of the tournament too. I mean, them and Golkey, performances of the tournament. Both those guys deserve every money of NIL for just willing that Oregon team. Oregon should have won that game in regulation. They should have won it. Creighton came in clutch towards the end, but wow, it was incredible watching that game. Alexander for Creighton, 50 minutes. Or Alexander and Kalkbrenner, 50 minutes. Woo-hoo! That is a lot of playing time. That is. Oh, and Shearman, 50 minutes. Three guys with 50 minutes for Oregon. I mean, Creighton and Ashworth, 40 minutes for Creighton. So, 190 minutes between those four guys for one game. That is incredible. Those guys played their heart out. They deserve everything from NIL as well. But without that game was incredible. I mean, two overtimes, the second overtime, Oregon just died. I mean, Dante Cousnard could not do it anymore. Oregon scored 0 points. I mean, Creighton went on a 12-0 run in double overtime to basically end that game. That was one of the best games I've seen, Creighton versus Oregon. That was incredible. Elite shots, elite shot making. It was fun to watch. Gonzaga heading to their fifth straight Sweet 16. This team is legit. I picked Gonzaga to go to the Sweet 16 for sure. Yeah, I picked Gonzaga to go to the Sweet 16. Kind of knew they were going to beat Kansas. Didn't really know if Kansas even had enough to go to the next round, to the round of 32. UConn, legit. Legit. I'm glad I picked them to win the championship. I am glad. Auburn let us down this year. Auburn with Sweet 16 team let me down. That's embarrassing to lose to Yale in the first round like that. Or not Yale. Wow, there's so many games. There's so many games going on. Was it Yale? I'm trying to find it. Yeah, Yale. It was Yale. So, embarrassing to go out like that. Illinois, solid. Iowa State, solid. North Carolina, looking amazing as well. North Carolina, 6-0 all time now versus Michigan State in the tournament. If you're Michigan State and Tom Izzo, oh, you better pray you are not in the same region as North Carolina anymore. You are 0-6 against North Carolina in the tournament all time. Pretty crazy. Duke basketball back, Sweet 16. I think they are. I mean, they can definitely go on to the Elite Eight. and then I mean, Alabama surviving a scare at Grand Canyon team that should have won that game. Grand Canyon should have won and gone to the Sweet 16. They could have definitely had a chance. Iowa State looks really good. Tennessee still looks really good. I mean, they did everything they could to let Texas come back and win that game. For Texas even to win that game. So, did not play well. They were 3 of 25 from three-pointers, Tennessee was. So, Texas had every chance to do it. James Madison, rooting for them to take down Duke. Did not happen. Marquette, a little close versus Colorado, but Colorado's a really good team. Colorado's a team that I was talking about since the Pac-12 tournament, a team that I was like, this Colorado team, if they make a run, they're going to get into the March Madness tournament, and they can definitely make a run there. And they look good. Lost in the Pac-12 championship to Oregon. Purdue, awesome. Look amazing. 106 points. San Diego State versus San Diego State looked really good. They look really solid. Should have picked them over Auburn to get to the Elite Eight. All right, let's look at Sweet 16. My bracket, pretty solid. I'd say pretty solid. I mean, if Kentucky doesn't lose, which they shouldn't, I mean, I'm right now I'm only missing four of the Sweet 16 teams. Right now, only four. Kentucky wins, which they should have. I mean, that's three. That's only three. That's pretty solid. Not many upsets, guys. I mean, I went with not many upsets this year, and I'm glad I did. But only missing four Sweet 16 teams. I'm him, guys. I'm him. I'll come out with a podcast later this week predicting, giving my predictions for the Sweet 16. Make sure to make your own Sweet 16 bracket. You can go get a second chance redemption at that. So those games start Thursday. We got Clemson versus Arizona. That's going to be pretty good. I think Arizona's pretty solid. San Diego State versus UConn. Oh, baby. This is awesome. San Diego State versus UConn rematch of last year in the Final Four. That's going to be really good. Alabama versus North Carolina. Really good schools. Alabama kind of new blood. North Carolina, blue blood. That's going to be a fun game to watch. Alabama can definitely test North Carolina. Iowa State versus Illinois. This game I am super excited for. This was a hard game to choose in my bracket. I was like, either of these teams can win. Either of these teams are going to go down and win. But, I mean, they're so close. They're so even. It is definitely going to come down to final possession games. I'm excited for Illinois versus Iowa State on Thursday. Man. And then Friday, we get NC State versus Marquette. That one not as interesting. I think Marquette definitely can handle that one. Duke versus Houston. That is going to be really good. I know it's a 4-1, but Duke has looked phenomenal. They got a little break after the ACC tournament loss, and, I mean, they needed that. They look really good. And then this Houston team, they are probably worn out. Their starters didn't have to play overtime or into the fourth, so they could be pretty well rested, just like they played in a normal game. But Houston maybe got their scare game. This is going to be a phenomenal game to watch Friday. And then Gonzaga-Purdue, oh my goodness. That Gonzaga, do not count out Gonzaga, guys. Fifth straight Sweet 16, I mean, 25th straight trip to March Madness. This Gonzaga team, Mark Few, one of the best coaches of all time here. I mean, getting to play the number one Purdue, Gonzaga can definitely win this game. Gonzaga can definitely win this one. I'm not a huge Zach Edey fan, and if they don't ball, I mean, Purdue's been balling out. They've been making their shots. Guards have been making their shots, but Gonzaga, oh, do not count them out. And then finally, the nightcap will be Creighton versus Tennessee. That game is going to be amazing too. The Sweet 16. Now we get these really good teams. There's no soft teams really. There's no math. I mean, there's one or two matchups you're like, I'm not too interested in watching it. It's gonna be an okay game. I expect this team to win, but it's really only count for like two games, two out of the eight. The six other games. Eyes on the TV, guys. It sucks. They're starting so close together. I mean, why are you doing this? These games are going to be so good. This is one of the best Sweet 16s I think we're going to see in a long time. This is the best Sweet 16 we've seen in a long time. This is going to feed families. That's how good this is going to be. So excited. I'll be coming out with the podcast later this week, making my official picks for the Sweet 16, and then so on and so forth into the Final Four and championship game. So look out for that. All right, let's go into On This Day in History, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. Hefner Eye Care hosting a trunk show April 8th for the solar eclipse that is going to be visible throughout the Midwestern United States, the path of totality. You can go to Hefner Eye Care. They have a trunk show, win prizes, have some food, drinks, just win some awesome shades and other fun, cool prizes. So Hefner Eye Care hosting that April 8th, starting 1 p.m. Central Time. Check them out at hefnereyecare.com. All right, on this day in history, 1952, Singing in the Rain, the musical with Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds, premieres in Radio City Music Hall. 1934, the first Masters tournament at Augusta is hosted. Horton Smith gets the win. And then 1972, the Lakers break the all-time NBA wins record, going 69-13, standing for 24 years until the Bulls in the 90s. Happy birthday, Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, and Elton John. That's on this day in history, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. Check them out, hefnereyecare.com. All right, let's go into some quick other sports headlines and the NBA. The NFL owners approve a ban on the swivel hip drop. There have been a lot of injuries on this game. I mean, this is how Florida State's quarterback injured himself, and Florida State ended up missing the College Football Playoff. A lot of injuries. This has caused a lot of injuries in the NFL as well. So I understand, but it's tough to not tackle like that then. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be called a lot. I'm excited to see when the Chiefs are down and it's late in the fourth quarter and fourth down stop and they call a swivel hip drop on whoever they're playing for the Chiefs to go down and win. So I'm excited to see that. But obviously that was sarcasm. But NFL players are not happy with this. I mean, I understand it. I mean, it's how else are you going to tackle? More than not, it doesn't result in injury, but when it does, it's usually a broken leg, a broken ankle, and so NFL is trying to protect its players. So it is the new league in the NFL. Maybe we'll be playing with flags on our belts, is what J.J. Watt said earlier today when this came out. But see how it plays in, see how they call it the first weeks, and then have more of an official opinion on it. But it's definitely going to be way harder for for defensive players to tackle. I mean, Derrick Henry. How are you going to tackle Derrick Henry, guys? Woo! That's going to be a tough one. Glad it's not me. Jim Harbaugh saying J.J. McCarthy is one of the better quarterbacks, and I would like to see that. I would like to see Jim Harbaugh trade Justin Herbert to a team and then draft J.J. McCarthy. Let's do it. Let's do it, Jim. Put your money where your mouth is. Let's see it. I highly doubt that this will happen, him backing up his words, but who knows. In the NFL as well, the Vikings head coach O'Connell said that Justin Jefferson is in the loop when in their quarterback plan, so they do need a new quarterback after Kirk Cousins leaves, went to Atlanta. J.J. is in the loop for who they will be replacing at their quarterback position. Kim Mulkey into the Sweet 16, even with the Washington Post story is coming out on Kim Mulkey soon, and it does has some dirt on her. Kim Mulkey was saying she went on a rant about the Washington Post, saying fake, where I'm going to sue the Washington Post, not real journalism. Whatever this story is, it is going to be major breaking news, because you already have a lawyer in place. You're already criticizing the story before it even comes out. So if you know what it's about, it's going to be pretty big. And I'm going to be excited to see it. I mean, no one was probably going to look at it or pay much attention. Like, oh, maybe that's just fake. Oh, that's just what coaches do when they're coaching. But now, with all this drama around it, Kim Mulkey at the presser, it is going to be one of the biggest stories ever regarding sports and head coaches. Meanwhile, South Carolina women, back-to-back 40-point wins in the tournament. Caitlin Clark and Iowa get a big win, and they're going to the Sweet 16. Stanford versus Iowa State, guys, in the women's tournament. That game, incredible. Kiki with 41 points for Stanford, 11 in overtime. This game, I mean, I got to watch the end of it after the Houston versus Texas A&M game. And on the men's side, the Iowa State-Stanford game, 18 lean changes and 12 ties. Back and forth, guys. Back and forth. Big shot after big shot. I was like, okay, Stanford got a big shot. Went back. Iowa State got a big shot. Oh, my. Three after three. It was a fun game to watch. And women's side March Madness is really fun. It is fun watching these young girls and these great teams play, this future of the WNBA and basketball, college basketball play. So check out the women's side, guys. It is fun. Kaitlin Clark advancing, Angela Reese and LSU advancing, and South Carolina, who is the favorite and probably will win March Madness for the women, are advancing. So check out the women's side as well. In the NBA, the Los Angeles Clippers expect to get Russell Westbrook back this week, and they need him because the Clippers are 1-8 against winning teams since the All-Star break. They need him to come back. So that is going to be a major get for the Clippers. The Blazers have an all-rookie lineup the first time in 50 years. Dang, that was very impressive to have an all-rookie lineup. But it's not helping them because they're not playing too well. They're only 19-52. So might as well go all rookies out there. And then the Atlanta Hawks make the largest comeback in franchise history, coming back from 30 points down versus the Boston Celtics to end the Celtics' 9-game winning streak. Some of these other games for the weekend, 76ers beat the Clippers, Timberwolves get the big win against the Warriors, Bucks beat the Thunder by 20. A little surprising there. Thunder, who were the one seed in the West. And then the Lakers putting up 150 over the Pacers to get the win. Suns beating the Spurs without Wembanyama dealing with a foot injury. They look pretty good. And then the Spurs turn around and beat the Suns tonight or Monday night. And Tuesday, we got Lakers versus Bucks, TNT. That is going to be a phenomenal matchup. And then Thunder versus Pelicans, definitely going to help with seeding in the West. Warriors versus Heat, going to be a great game as well. Mavs, Kings. This Tuesday night, phenomenal basketball. Tune in starting at 6:30 all night. Got some great basketball to watch. I mean, we're like 10 games away from the end of the NBA season. Every game counts. And these are some great games. Wednesday, we got Suns versus Nuggets. Give me the Nuggets in that one. Lakers versus Grizzlies. Spurs versus Jazz. Clippers versus 76ers. Give me the Clips if Russ is back by then. Give me the Clips in that one. It's going to be fun basketball coming up. In the standings right now, in the East, it's still the Celtics Conference. No one's catching them. Celtics clinched the one seed, 57-15 on the year. They are up 10.5 games on second place Bucks. Cavaliers in third, 13 back. And then Knicks, a half game back of that three seed. So that is big on seeding. We'll see how that goes. I'd much rather be a three seed right now. Followed by the Knicks at 4-5 Magic, 6 Pacers rounding out that six seed. And don't have to hit the play-in. But 7-8, half a game back of that six seed with the Heat and 76ers. Followed by the Bulls and the Hawks. And those are going to be your tip 10 teams to get into the playoffs. Looks like Bulls and Hawks are going to be that 9-10, kind of right there, 9-10 spot. In the West, the Denver Nuggets back on top of the West, and probably will stay that way throughout the end of the season. Thunder, second game or half a game back in the second seed, followed by the Timberwolves, a half game back of the Thunder. So 1-2-3, one game difference. Big implications. Every game matters, like I said. Clippers in that four spot still, even though they're 1-8 since the top, or since winning teams since the All-Star break. So getting the pieces back at the right time. Pelicans, half game back of that. And then to round out the sixth spot, you got the Kings. In the play-in right now, 7 seed Mavericks tied for 7, Mavs and Suns. And then Lakers and Warriors riding out the final play-in spots. And hey, the Rockets look like they can make a run. The Rockets are one game back of the 10-seeded Warriors right now. Warriors-Rockets, it could come down to that. It could come down to these final games, which team makes it to the playoffs. And Rockets could definitely overtake. They're playing some good basketball right now. So that's the NBA right now. We're coming towards the end, guys. We are almost at the end of the NBA regular season. So, all right, let's move into my final segment. Home, Share My Burger and Brought with. Share My Burger and Brought with the Cobda Solar and Renewable Park in the Barren Salt Pan in India state of Gujarat. I think I said that right. But a solar and renewable park in India. Wow, that was tough to get through. This state renewable, or geez. All right. The solar and renewable park in the Barren Salt Pan in India is going to aim for 30 gigawatts, as much as the national grid of Switzerland. So 30 gigawatts, that is a ton. That is the whole national grid of Switzerland. It will sprawl out across an area of lifeless desert five times the size of Paris and costing $20 billion. But it will generate power for 16 million homes in India. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of homes. I mean, especially with some useless land. So that's awesome to see out there. The renewable farm is estimated to provide 9% of the entire Indian renewable portfolio. Sagar Adani is the billionaire responsible for the project, who is also India's second richest man. So second richest man. They do some good things out there in India. They're billionaires helping out their country. So excited to see that renewable and solar park put out there in that barren landscape. That is going to definitely help get us to renewable energy and help the climate crisis. So that's awesome to see out there from Sagar Adani. Awesome stuff. All right. Sweet 16 coming up this weekend. I'll be back breaking all that down. Make sure you get your Sweet 16 brackets in. But, hey, done pretty good so far for my bracket. Done pretty good. So, it is March. It is madness. All right, thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats and stay up to date with latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Stay safe.